Praise the Lord. I guess I'm going to title this Use It or Lose It. I've been talking quite a bit about faith the last few Sundays, somebody said, "Well, why are you doing that?" We've heard it. Well, some of you have, but some of you, you know, we have new people coming in all the time that haven't heard some of the stuff. Plus, the Word of God said, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So we need to be reminded again and again and again about faith. Amen. You know, a lot of people are busy trying to get what they don't have. You know, their childhood dreams haven't come true, and now they don't know what to do. They imagine themselves with what they don't have, and they talk about others that have what they haven't gotten, and they get jealous and they get envious and, you know, and so forth and so on. And then a lot of people just spend their time wishing they had what they don't have and don't even focus on what they already have. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, we'll start off there and go from there. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. And you know, most of us know that all the promises God has promised us, all kinds of blessings. He has made abundant provision for us. And every promise is ours because Christ obtained it for us on Calvary. And God wants us to have an unlimited life with him. You know, this is a story that I read in one of the illustration deals. You know, they have these books of illustrations that ministers can get. And there was a man living on the streets, just begging. And one day he asked a man, "Mister, please give me a dime." And as soon as the man turned and this beggar saw his face, he recognized him as his father. And he said, "Father, don't you know me?" And throwing his arms around him, the father cried, "I found you. All I have is yours." Here I was, a tramp, begging my father for a dime, when for 18 years he had been looking for me to give me all he had. Our Heavenly Father is waiting to give us all he has. Today, many people are living far below the abundant life that they should be living in God. They're doing without the promises that could be theirs simply for the asking. In the Bible, we see that the Israelites followed Moses through the wilderness, and they got to the edge of the promised land, the door of the promised land. And God had already promised it to them. He had already said that he would give it to them. But at the very threshold of crossing, they did not use their faith to believe God, and they ended up losing what God had already given them. Hebrews 4:2. Go to Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews 4:2. This is just a little lesson today. And a lot of people are losing because they're not using. Hello. They know faith. They know all about it. But they're not using it, so they're losing. Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we can see here that we must use our faith to get the promises of God, or we'll end up losing them. In other words, use your faith or lose what God has promised you and said is yours. See, Jesus told us to have faith in God. Mark 11:22, all of us know it. I mean, most of us here know it. And some of you may not. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Now, we would never be told to have something that we can't, that we cannot or have. You know, look at Romans 12:3 now. Look at Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3. I'm giving you a chance to turn to all these scriptures. Some of you should have them marked. If you don't, you need to mark all these scriptures in your word. You should have them marked. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now here's what I want you to get a hold of. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For you to say that you don't have faith, you're lying on God. Let me put that a little more where it don't sound so bad. You're just not telling the truth. Because God has given to each of us a measure of faith. That's how we received salvation. Right? That's how we receive all of his promises. That's how we receive the power that he said belongs to us. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Now Paul here is simply saying what the psalmist said over in the Psalms. Now this is not just written about Paul or the Corinthian church. It says since we, that's including all of us Christians today. It says we have the same spirit of faith. He didn't say we're trying to get it. He said we have it. Turn to your neighbor and said, we have the same spirit of faith. You see, you already, if you are a born again Christian, you have faith. You know, too often we say, well, man, you know, if I had faith like Abraham, or if I had faith like Paul or somebody else. No, it says we have the same spirit of faith. Now, most of you know that the man that I'm named after, Kenneth Hagin, is known as the modern day father of faith. The mandate he was given, go teach my people faith. And through the years, and I've been there with him, and Craig's probably been there with him, and so is Richie, because they travel with him on the road so much. They come up and say, oh, Brother Hagin, I wish I had faith like you do. What they didn't realize is they have the same spirit of faith. We all have the same spirit of faith. Now, it is true that some people have developed their faith more than others. That's true. But if you have just, it says, if you have just the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Now, some people have developed their faith. Everybody here has muscles. Every individual here has muscles. But some people got bigger muscles than others. Why? Because they have bothered to increase their muscle capacity. And some of us, like myself and some of the others in this congregation, used to have six pack, used to have good muscle tone, but those days are sort of gone forever. I still have muscle, but I just can't lift everything I used to lift. I can still lift. I still have enough muscles to lift suitcases and stuff, but it's not like I used to have. And the truth is that we need to continue to stay in shape. In the natural, if you see, I just back over 10 years ago, I just sort of quit doing anything. But when I quit playing basketball every Saturday and every Wednesday night, when I was 64, that would have been 13 years ago, I guess now. And I just sort of let down on everything. And, you know, up until then, I was, you know, being pretty good. And I still have muscle. And here, we need to realize Romans 10:17, everybody knows it. You got it marked in your Bible probably. If you don't, if you're one that don't know it, you need to mark it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's the same thing. How many of you go work out every day? There's quite a few people that do. And because you do, you're keeping your muscles stronger than somebody else, but we all still have muscles. So then, faith is easy to get. It comes when we get saved. We're given a measure. But faith is easy to increase by listening to the word. You want to keep your spiritual faith muscles in shape? Then listen to the word every day. See? It says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You know, sometimes people say, well, I read the Bible every day. I just don't feel like I have faith. Feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. It don't matter whether you feel like you got faith or not. You see, faith is not physical. You can't judge by your feelings whether you have faith. The only way to know you have faith is because you read your Bible. It says faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I have faith. So now let's go out and do what the word says. You see, I look at it this way. Every time I read the word, my faith is increased. Whether I feel like it, whether I see it, doesn't make any difference. Every time I read the word, I increase my faith. It's just like going to the gym. Every time I go to the gym and I work out, I increase my muscle strength. Now, I still have muscles whether I go and increase them or not. Hello? Now, I can't lift as much, but I still can lift. Right? You know, now, I still have strong muscles in my calf muscles and my legs because I'll stand around and do toe raises and isometrics and tightening up my leg muscle. I have still have really good leg muscles. The top part, I don't work out as much. Occasionally, I'll do some push-ups and some stuff, you know. But you see, you keep your muscles strong by using them. By going and exercising. You keep your faith muscles strong by reading the word. You know, my ability to believe and then act on God's word is how much I listen to the word. Now that means hearing somebody preach the word. That means reading it myself. Hello, that reading it yourself. You know, how many of you have ever heard of a fellow by the name of Hudson Taylor? He was a great missionary way back whenever he went to China whenever he had to go on a sailing vessel. That's how long ago it was. And as they were sailing toward China, the wind quit. They had a calm. And they were sailing close to some islands that was inhabited with cannibals. And because there was no wind to push the ship, it was drifting toward this island. And the savages there were anticipating a feast on the shore. The captain came to Hudson Taylor and said, "Will you pray for God to send some wind so that we will not drift ashore on this island where the cannibals are?" And Taylor said to him, "I will if you'll set the sails." And the captain declined. He did not want to be a laughing stock for putting sails up when there was a dead calm. Taylor said, "I'll not undertake to pray unless you prepare the sails." Finally, the captain agreed. He set the sails. Taylor started praying, and pretty soon there was a banging on his cabin door and said, "Hey, quit praying. There's too much wind." You see, I want you to notice that Taylor used his faith, but before he used his faith, he prepared to get the answer. Many people are talking about their faith, but they're not preparing to get the answer. I use this example all the time. Fella believing God for a car. I told him, I said, "You're not really believing God for a car." He said, "Why?" I said, "Look at your garage. It's full of junk. You couldn't put a car in there if you got one." I said, "If you really believe that God's going to give you a car, you'll clean the garage out and get it ready for the car. You'll go get the proper tools and things to wash the car and to keep it clean and to keep it all up." I said, then I believe that you really believe God's going to give you a car. Come on, don't look at me like that. We talk about our faith, but we don't prepare for faith to bring us the answer. Do we really believe if we don't prepare? I want you to notice, Taylor said, "I'm not even going to pray until you prepare to receive." Whoa. Hello now. You see, he knew that if you prepare, then God will answer. I want you to notice. Remember when Joshua told them to go, they're going to go across the Jordan? And it was at what they say a flood stage. And I was just there in that area just this past June. And they were saying how high it probably was. I want you to notice that God said he would do something for them. But nothing happened until those priests actually waded into the water. Is that true? Is that what the Bible says? See, they prepared to go across, but they had to wade into the water. Come on. And in fact, something very interesting the guide told us, and I got to think about it, it's true. The Jordan flows down from the north. And we think, if we're not careful, we'll think about water on each side. But there wasn't no water on this side. All he had to do was hold it up from this side because it's flowing down. Once he stops the flow, it's going to flow off down here. Come on now. You know, it's so easy for us to say we're believing God for something. But are we preparing to receive what we're believing God for? Now, I'm not talking about acting foolish, but I'm talking about being prepared to receive. See, use your faith. You know, the Mark 11:23, you all know it. I mean, we quote it here all the time. If you don't, you should. For surely, saying you, whoever says this mountain be removed, cast in the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Right? This describes the operation of faith. Believe with the heart, speak with our mouth according to the promises. That's how we receive salvation, isn't it? Isn't that what it says? Romans 10:9-10. Believe with your heart, confess the Lord with your mouth, and you'll be saved. You know, now, here's where we run into some problems sometimes. When people believe and confess, and it doesn't happen immediately, they lose heart. They lose their confidence. Sometimes there's a period of time between the asking and the actual receiving. Sometimes you start believing God and confessing God for something, and more trials and troubles come along than you've ever had. Oh, I got some help in here tonight. Because the enemy will do everything he can to try to derail you. See, Hebrews 10:35-36. Hebrews 10:35-36. Find it in your Bible or your phone or your iPad, whatever you have there. I always wait and I see the people on the front row get it, then I go, okay? Do not cast away your confidence, which hath great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Do not cast away your confidence, which hath great reward. For you have need of endurance. Today, if you're speaking and believing God's word, your faith is working. You may not see the provision overnight. But God said, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. That's Hebrews 6:12, if you want to know where it is. Through faith and patience, inherit the promises. You know, just because you start believing God and it doesn't happen, the devil will begin to tell you, well, your faith's not working. Your faith may be working all right, but you nullify it when you say, well, I guess that's right. I guess that's right. Guess it's not going to happen this time. You completely nullify everything that you already have been done, believing God for. You need to change it and say, yeah, my faith's working. It's going to happen. See, remember when Daniel prayed and the angel finally got to him with the answer? It was 22 days later. The angel said, I was dispatched the first prayer you gave. But he kept praying, and that helped the angel to be able to fight his way through and get down with the answer. Do you understand that the enemy in high places is trying to keep the answer from getting to you? God, you can pray and thank God for stuff, and God may speak to somebody, but, they may not respond immediately. And y'all have heard me tell the story of how that whenever I was about, 16, I guess, and we were out in California in the trailer, me and my sister and mom and dad. I traveled that sophomore year in high school with them all over California, and we pulled in there and we ate our last meal on Saturday. And we thought, well, the preacher and them, we'll go preach on their Sunday, they'll take us out. And they did, and then but we didn't have nothing Sunday night. There wasn't nothing in the for me to eat at all, nothing. Not even a piece of bread. And so we were believing God, you know, and I figured, well, they'd take us out after church, but they didn't. So we went and we did that. We got up Monday morning and my sister and I started, we all, dad and mom, sat at the table, thank God for our food. I started studying. Dad went and preached. He came back. We did the same thing at noon, and we did that. So Tuesday, we did that Wednesday morning, and we did it Wednesday at noon. Well, that afternoon, I'm sitting there, and I'm really hungry by now. Dad had told me, he said, listen, we believe God, and God will supply. A pickup pulled up out there. Dad had he had always helped us with our tests and stuff after we'd eat on at noon, and then he had rest in the afternoon. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a knock on the trailer door, and a guy and I opened the door. I told Dad, I said, "Hey, somebody pulled up out there with a truck, and it looks like it's loaded with groceries." And so, knock on the door. Dad went to the door, and the man said, "Brother Hagin, ever since Sunday, the Lord told me you needed food, but I knew it was just me. But today it got so bad, I could not stand it. So I just went and bought you a bunch of groceries here. Their whole truck, the whole pickup load full." Now you see, the Lord started answering immediately. But because somebody didn't respond, we kept our faith out there, and the answer came. Now, I'm going to go a little side thought here. Listen, if God speaks to you about something, I don't care whether you think the people need it or not, respond. When God speaks, respond immediately. People on the outside don't show sometimes. They just stand in there with their faith. Hello. If people really believe God, they don't, you know, now, I'd get disgusted. I don't do it anymore because I don't hear it. But when school first started, I was in charge of everything. I did it all. There wasn't nobody else but me. It was it. So now here I am. And I hear this kid praying, "Lord, you know, I got to have my school bill, blah, blah, blah." He's going on. Well, I knew he went and kneeled down by side of a man that really liked Rhema, and he had lots of money, and he knelt down right beside that guy and started praying loud. Well, then he came. I was the one that I received the tuition back then. And here he came. He said, "Oh, the Lord provided my tuition." I said, "No, he didn't." "Whoa, what do you mean?" I said, "No, that man had mercy on you. You went and kneeled beside him, prayed out loud, and he heard you, and he has the money, so he's the one to get." "Well, yeah. I said, I sort of burst his balloon there, but. You know, people get up and they talk about what they're believing God for. If you believe in God, you don't have to talk about it. You just believe God, continue to believe God, and it'll come. See, if you talk about it enough, somebody that has that money or has that whatever will eventually help you. Oh, now, I see that a lot of people don't like what I'm saying. I'm talking about an area of saying, now it's all right to tell somebody you're believing for healing because they can't do nothing about it anyway. Let me understand where I'm coming from today. This is just a good old basic down to earth practical faith message. that we all need to be reminded of over and over again. Because sometimes we get so involved and so going that we want to, oh, we want to hear something new. You know what? Why don't you use up all you've got before you get something new? Hello. Okay, I better go on before I get in trouble. See, the devil will try to tell you that your faith's not working. Sometimes we need to simply start using our faith instead of, like some people, they wait, well, I got to wait till my faith gets a little stronger. No, if you're going to start working out, you don't wait till your muscles get stronger to start working out. You go over and you start using them, and then they get stronger as you use them. So start using the faith you got. Hello. Use it or lose it. Now, you know, in Acts 14, 8 through 10, you can turn there if you want to. And Paul was preaching down in Lystra, and there was a man there without strength in his feet, was sitting there crippled from his mother's womb and never walked. And he heard Paul preach, speak. So Paul probably spoke the word, probably spoke about healing. And Paul observed that he had faith. But I want you to notice something interesting here. Paul could see that the man had faith, but he wasn't doing nothing about it. He was still sitting there crippled. So Paul said to him, listen, stand up. It wasn't until he used his faith that he got the answer, even though he had the faith. Hello? Come on now. See, I don't know that he would have ever got up if Paul hadn't have told him, get up. Otherwise, the man might have never received his healing. Even though he had the faith, Paul said, received he had faith. You know, one preacher is during the hot summer months and there was a drought on, and so the church called a prayer meeting for rain. And so the preacher got up, looked over the congregation, and he said, hey, y'all, we came to pray for rain. I want to know where your umbrellas are. I see some of you, I can see some of you got that. That's sort of like Hudson Taylor. He told a man, he said, you set the sails, then I'll pray. They came to pray for rain, but if they were expecting rain, they'd have brought their umbrella to go home with. Just a thought. We all have the measure of faith. I want to encourage you to start using your faith. And as you use your faith and learn how to use your faith and believe God, it will get stronger. Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Why could he say that? Because he could see that they started out believing God for this, and now they were growing. You know, some people are trying to have $1 million faith when they only got dollar faith. Start believing God for the dollar before you try to believe him for the million. That'd be like me walking over in that gym over there at the NRC and sit down there and going to do bench press. I used to could do, you know, 225 or so, maybe more than that. But because I never did work out to, you know, I didn't want to get too big. But, you know, for me to walk over there now and try to lift 225 pounds is stupid. My muscles are not there. I need to start out with about 90 pounds maybe and build myself back up. See, what I want you to realize is that we all have faith. But some of us, because we see our friends that have used their faith and they're getting more than we are, now we want to start believing God there, and we're not there. Oh, I realize that doesn't go over good with people. But let me tell you what. If you want to get $100 faith, you got to have dollar faith first. You use your dollar faith. In fact, one guy said it was just as easy for him to believe for $5,000 now as it was for him to believe for $1 when he first started out believing God. Why? Because your faith muscle grows. Hello. It's time to walk by faith. This is the time to use your faith. This is the time to get all the promises of God. The only way you're going to get the promises of God, the things that he has promised you, is by using your faith. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few minutes today to stir up their pure minds concerning faith, which most of them know. Now, some of them don't, but those that this is new to, Father, help them to get a hold of what I'm saying and realize this is their ticket to receiving what you said belongs to them. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. How many got anything out of this today? How many of this sort of rekindle some things in you? You say, hey, yeah, I knew that, but I've just sort of let some of that. Yeah, hey, if we're not careful, we let some of this stuff slip away from us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. Now, the way you get this faith that we're talking about is when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you happen to be in here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know him. If you happen to be here today and you need to rededicate your life to God, I want you to do that. Rekindle yourself. Rekindle your faith. If you're like some people, they go to church, been going to church all of their life, but they don't know whether they ever accepted Christ or not. Well, you can know before you leave here today. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, it doesn't make any difference. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now. Anybody, anywhere in the room. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Are there anybody else that would raise their hand? Anywhere else in this, upstairs, downstairs, over here on this side? Thank you. Thank you. Are there others that will raise their hand? We also believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you would say that I would like to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit today. Anybody in the room, anywhere. I'm not talking about church, creed, or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Would everybody stand, please? Everyone stand, please. I'm having everyone stand because if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out and come down here because I want to do what I said. I want to shake your hand. I want to pray with you right now. So come on, right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted. Come on, right here. Step right up here. Bless you.
Jesus is waiting.
God bless you. God bless you. So praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on. Praise the Lord. We'll wait just a moment. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Come on.
Jesus is waiting.
Anybody? Anybody else want to come? Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. This looks like it's ladies' day today. The other day, other Sunday, not very long ago, it was men. All men come. But today is ladies' day. Well, praise the Lord. Don't make no difference. Amen. Hey, listen, I have three books here. New Birth, In Him, White Tongues, talking about the Holy Spirit. If I said I'm going to give them to you, I put them out here like this, what you got to do to get them? You got to reach and get them. After you got them, they're yours. all y'all gonna get them same books in just a minute. I just do that as a little exercise. I can give you a book. I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come for. It comes from heaven on high. Just as two or three of you, if she was first, reached your hand out, I want you to reach one hand toward heaven. And with that hand, you said, okay, Lord, I'm reaching up to get what I come from. So just raise your hand. Congregation, reach your hand toward them as I pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these who've come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with you. I thank you for it. Blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, okay? Get those books. The place you're going to, if you're rededicating your life or coming for the first time, that room becomes a classroom on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock called Turning Point. And it's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. And I'd like to see you there next Sunday morning. Would you turn right that way and you see Miss Candy over there? She's going to take y'all to that place of prayer, and you're going to be prayed with individually in depth. That's good. Give them a hand. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock, remember, right here. Hey, Connection Team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the Connection Room to get a special gift that we put together for them right now. Staff, you can go to the door so we can shake hands with you. There's where we'll be if any of you want to see any of the staff. And for you parents that got the children, I'll be at the south door today, and that's where I'll have the lollipops or the suckers, whatever y'all call them. Hey, we need people to sign up for the Christmas lights. Go to the north lobby. Hey, don't forget, we got 44 Angel Tree right out here in this lobby right out here. Go sign up and get the Angel Tree. Bring in stuff for the We Care Center. Remember, pray for our people from our congregation that are deployed overseas, but also pray for all of our military. In fact, we need to just pray for our government. The Bible says pray for those who have authority over you, where you can live a quiet and peaceful life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock, right here. Wednesday night, Hour of Power, 7 to 8. Come be here. We're going to have a good time. Hey, they're going to sing a chorus to dismiss. Let me get back here to the south door. All right. We'll see you tonight. God bless.
Well, this song just rose up big as Pastor was preaching that message. Say this. I have faith in God, and I have faith in God. I have faith in God, and I have faith in God. So when I speak through the mouth and throw it into the sea, I have the faith of God. I have the victory. The mountain, throw it into the sea. I have the faith of God, I have the victory. I have faith in God. Well, sing it as you're going out. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. We'll see you back here tonight. Oh, I have faith in God, and I have faith in God. So when I speak to the mountain, throw it into the sea. I have the faith of God, I have a victory.